The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Right, lads, we're back again. Shane Stapleton with me. Shane Mahon from Ladbrokes. How are you, Shane?
Not too bad.
And
too
a couple bad. Of mirror men as well, Bernard Flynn and Mick Scully. How are you doing?
Mick is looking well in the mirror.
I'm feeling hot and heavy in here.
Yeah, it is absolutely roasting.
Great to have you, Mick.
Sweating buckets. Lads, loads coming to show. We're going to touch on the World Cup. We won't go too specific in the games just yet. We'll just have a look at a couple of the openers maybe and touch on some of the outright markets. We've got a lot of GAA going on this weekend. I think it's something like 15 matches. We'll stick on the main ones there. Ireland are going to Australia looking for a first win there since, I think, 1979. Yep. And there's a bit of boxing. Tyson Fury's out this weekend as well, which I think is worth looking into. So first
are
off,
you from serious, Shane?
Maybe 60 seconds and no more.
Sort of a morbid curiosity, perhaps. This guy has lost 8 stone, so I'm not sure if that backs up my argument that it's interesting.
And all credibility.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I'm not sure he had much to start out with. But then again, he won the world title, so how bad can he be? Lads, just looking at the outrights to win the World Cup. Germany 9-2, Brazil 4-1, France 6-1, Spain 6-1. Argentina, I think, are very generous at 9-1 just because they have the likes of Messi there. Shane.
They have Messi, full stop.
Yeah. Well, now, to be fair, they have Higuain and they have Aguero and a few more, but like they still have Mascherano in midfield and he's playing in China.
Yeah, that says it all, really, doesn't it? Yeah. I think 9-1 is about right at the moment. It's interesting, actually, it was released there during the week of the bets struck by Ladbrokes punters in their shops over recent weeks. Germany came out on top as being the most popular, so that's the one that they're clinging on to in recent weeks, followed by Belgium in second. England, would you believe, in third place, the third most popular bet for the outright. The third most backed team to win the World Cup by our punters in recent weeks, followed then by France in fourth, Brazil only fifth, Spain sixth. So
that's
Belgium
shock.
And England, no chance.
Why do you give Belgium no chance? Like, the quality is unbelievable. Temperamental. Well,
they had the chance last time out, didn't they?
They had lost to Wales in the
Euros.
Amazing
team. Yeah.
They still have
it's kind
it
of like
they
that potential poor. Has been there for many a year now.
And the previous
still trying to uncover well. It.
Yeah, but you know, there are a lot of players in their prime here. De Bruyne, Lukaku, flat track.
Who's managing them?
Hazard, yeah. Obviously, Vincent Kompany's in
the team. Who's managing them?
Well, I know Roberto Martinez is managing them, and they've got to listen to Thierry Henry's absolute nonsense as selector. What do they call a selector? Assistant there as well.
selector.
So I got carried away. It's GA season. What do you want?
The Marischka.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think for England are 14-1. I wouldn't put bad money on them, really, would you, Bernard?
I think there's a bit of... I'm looking at the South American. I think you're going to see something from... If Germany win this again and... You know, in the fashion that we sort of expect them, or the way they play, I think Spain genuinely at 6-1 are value, and I think Argentina at 9-1. There's a bit of value on both of those.
How much are the hosts?
40-1.
Yeah, 40-1.
Hosts normally can
it's
do
a
well.
No. It's a no. Mate. It's a straight no. out. It's a no. They haven't won for any of their last 7 games. They've been they've used 10 centre backs since this new manager came in.
Yeah.
They're missing their main man. Hold on, I've written down here somewhere. They're missing their striker. Is it Cochrane is out as well? Wait, no. Yeah, Cochrane's out with a cruciate, and he'd had a great first half of the season. Got 19 goals for Zenit. So
you're underestimating the power of Vladimir Putin on home ground.
Yeah, oh, what are you suggesting? What on earth are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that Russia have had some untoward activity?
There'll be
in
more
the
food poisoning.
I hope the embassy aren't listening to this.
In team hotels.
I would have thought
else.
The opposite. The food will be sort of heightened and a few additives put into it.
I know. I'm only joking. Not in Russia. English hotel anyway. Yeah, that's Russia. A fact.
Yeah. Do you know what the worst thing about it is?
Well,
the opener, Russia versus Saudi Arabia.
That's a
disaster.
Stinking.
Disaster. You're on the money there. Don't you hate when they do that? They give you a stinker to start it off.
And I think I'm not sure what the game is that evening, but it's another rotten game.
There's no game that evening.
Oh, so
you have to
no,
wait
there's
the next
one
day.
Game
so
the
next
night.
The
it's
game
that
the
bad.
Day.
There's not even another
right.
game.
I tried to find a way that I could make Egypt Uruguay, which is the second game, a little bit sexy. And Suarez versus Salah. You think, okay, that's all right. Salah might be out, though, with the shoulder injury.
Do you know what I think? Do you know there's a real value for the punters, Shane? I think the top goal scorer, even if you've picked 2 or 3 guys there, you're still in the money.
Yeah.
If you look at it closely, I think that's where people could pick up a little bit of value. I
mean, who do you like?
Well, I mean, Neymar hit the ground running. I mean, he could hit a bag full in one of the weaker games.
Well, they've got Switzerland, Costa Rica and Serbia in their group. Yeah, so that's not bad.
8-1. If you look at Ronaldo, 16-1, I'm not saying, but like that's value.
Well, if England get going, they've got Tunisia and Panama. I fancy 16s. England to do okay. I don't think the expectation is there. They're a young enough team. A lot of the baggage isn't there that's usually there.
Well, one of the big price who has come in for support, 25s into 16s in recent weeks, Romelu Lukaku as well, in the same group as England. You know, we mentioned Panama and Tunisia.
So he
could bag it. I mean, it's looking at previous trends, it's Barr, I think Thomas Muller got 6 in the last one, was it? I think 6 or 7 has usually done it in recent World Cups, so it won't take an awful lot. And if you can have a 5 or 6 goals coming out of the group stages, we talked about Panama and Tunisia, you would expect them to be the whipping boys in that group for England and Belgium. So the likes of Harry Kane and Lukaku could play with their hands.
Muller's a fair point as well, though. Yeah, Lewandowski too.
25-1.
Senegal, Senegal, Japan, Colombia. Yeah.
And the other reason for Muller, like, they've got Mexico, Sweden. That's two pretty tough games, but they've got Korea in there, so there could be trouble along the 38 parallel once more.
Yeah,
I know. I was mad to get that over.
We're all friends now. What
but
you
just the Egypt Uruguay game, which is on day two. Like, there's a couple of good player stories here. So Matias Vecino was one of the Uruguay players, and when he was 14. His father died in a car crash, but on his way to work. But the local club, San Jacinto, renamed their ground after his father, which I thought was a nice little interesting thing for a current World Cup player. Mm. And then on the Egypt side, the goalkeeper, Essam El Hadary, he's going to be the oldest player at 45 years of age. And you know, when you think back of their last game at the World Cup, which is 28 years ago, Ireland against Egypt, It was the game that just never ended. It was so unbelievably boring. Horrendous. As a 7-year-old,
somebody fling a pencil across the table.
Yeah, you felt like you aged years. But in a different set of circumstances, your man El Hadary could be playing in this game with his son-in-law. Now, the reason being is, right, last year El Hadary's daughter, Shadwa, I think is her name.
That is your pronunciation.
Yeah, got engaged to winger, and this is going to test me again, Mahmoud Abdel Manim, who's commonly known as Kadraba, which translates to electricity. Jesus, this is tough. But like,
get on with it.
After just 48 days, their relationship was over because he had found that he was already engaged to an actress. So you'd have to wonder, how are things in the Egypt dressing
room? We had English paper one in the Leave Insert this week already? You wouldn't have been out of place whatsoever after that, to be honest.
Would you say he was in denial?
That's not bad. You know, it's brutal, but it's not bad at all. You know,
I like that one.
Mick, you've nailed us with that one.
I'm playing Contar Castle tonight.
Do you know, Morocco are playing Iran later that day, so things aren't getting much better for us on Saturday. But luckily, Saturday Night Lights, Portugal against Spain.
Great game.
Bit of a sexy fixture.
I think people do forget how crazy and manic and out of control the countries get that are in the World Cup. I mean, some of the lesser countries, the countries will come to a standstill, whether they're good, bad or indifferent.
Yeah.
They do really, it's an incredible wave of emotion that just overtakes the whole country. We've seen ourselves here.
Well, 16 years ago, I was lucky enough to be in South Korea, and it was unbelievable.
Did you let yourself down?
No. I was a very good boy.
No, you weren't.
I was a very good boy. But the outpouring of love, platonic, was sensational.
Surely there was a non-platonic outpouring over there.
There possibly
was. There was a lot of drink on board.
There was. But we were all traumatized after Saipan.
Mick was only in nappies at that stage.
Well, you wear that, he was in his mid to late 20s. And I know it well, because it is 40 a few years ago. Even though, and I've said it to you before, you don't look a day over 35.
Thanks, Shane.
I actually take that as a compliment these days.
I cannot agree with that.
That's the worst.
But look, just back to Spain, Portugal. Spain are 6-1 to win it outright. And what I notice about them is they still got a huge amount of the team, or the spine of the team from 2008 when they won their first Euros. Ramos is there, Iniesta and Silva as well. And like, if you look at their midfield, they've got Busquets, Thiago, Isco, Diego Costa up front, even though he hasn't necessarily fitted in brilliantly with them. So
it's a serious team.
It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah, 6-1, as Bernard mentioned, could be value about Spain. They're a shade of odds on to win their opening match against Portugal, 20-17 on. The draw's at 9-4 Portugal. Shade above 3-1, 18-5.
What about the best goalkeeper? So there's odds for the Golden Glove as well. De Gea and Manuel Neuer, 7-2. Alisson of Brazil, 4-1. Lloris, 11-2. Courtois, 6-1. Pickford, 18-1, forget about it. But like, we know the importance of a goalkeeper, because if you look at the Champions League this year, obviously Karius, and I know there's a concussion issue there as well against Real in the final, which was crucial, and Sven Ulrich for Bayern in the semi-final against Real as well, because he had that misstep which allowed a crucial goal for Real as well. Does anyone have any particular favourite here? And like, the Alisson one is interesting because he's on the team ahead of Ederson. So if Brazil want to change how they play, or if a team is pressing high on them, they've actually got one of the best passers in the game to come on the bench in the goal. So no one wants to take anything on that.
Pickford 18-1.
Really?
18-1?
Like, are we even guaranteed he'll start every game?
He probably will. He'll start.
But when you actually look at Shane, that's all the more reason the goalkeeper's trying to pick. I think that's so hard.
Yeah.
Just looking at, and that's why the goalkeepers. Just saying, if you go for Kane, Ronaldo, or Lukaku, three of those are 16-1.
Yeah.
16-1. Three of them. Bit of value there.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what about someone like Griezmann? 12-1 for him as well.
Yeah.
Like France, I know they struggled to find a place for Pogba and the team, but they've got unbelievable talent there.
Yeah.
If they did manage to gel it together.
I think they would, they'll go close this time.
You look at the players they've left at home as well, I mean.
Yeah.
What's the draw on the Spain-Portugal match again?
It is 9-4.
I tell you, that'd be the one I'd go for in that game.
The battle of the last two European
Just they won't want to lose. Neither will want to lose that game.
Syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was looking at the France team, like, the attack could be, you know, Pogba, Lemar, who's from Monaco, Griezmann, Mbappe, Giroud on the bench. Nice to have a plan B as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, especially like in the back line, you have Varane and Umtiti.
Kante holding the middle.
It's not bad, is it?
It's solid.
It is
very, very solid.
And then Brazil, like, if they recovered from...
Just, have they just lacked a little bit of ruthlessness, really?
What do you mean by that, though?
I don't know. They have all the talent, but do they have that desire?
I suppose Spain were
like
always,
England.
Yeah, and Spain until 2008, they were always the nearly men who never quite were.
Yeah.
So Brazil as well are another...
I'm expecting something from them. They have to do something decent.
Brazil?
Well, I really do think.
Look at their attack line, and I'm going to include Marcelo at left back here. But like Casemiro...
He'll suit the World Cup.
Casemiro midfield, Paulinho, who went from China to Barcelona and has done really well. Fernandinho, Neymar... Jesus,
that attack
Coutinho,
line again, yeah, the front three.
It's frightening.
Ah, it's ludicrous, lads.
Yeah,
and we're not even including Fred, who signed for Man United as well.
Right. Yeah,
so absolutely, and Firmino, he's not bad either.
I think so. They'll take a bit of stopping defensively. You know, it's the one area you just question if they can actually get their act together defensively.
And just speaking of England again, so what price were they? 14-1
Yeah,
Sterling, like, he's done well to come out the right side of this tattoo nonsense as well, but. If you're just looking at cold hard facts, in 38 internationals, he has just 2 goals. So we know he's deadly, and we know Pep Guardiola has obviously brought him on. But is he gonna?
Yeah, is he gonna lead? Still that one element of his game. It reaches that pressure point. He's not able to finish when it really matters.
The whole captaincy as well with Harry Kane. Now there is going to be a hell of a lot of pressure on that man's shoulders, Harry Kane, I think, to just grab the mantle. Because I know the English media as well like to hype up their team in recent tournaments we've seen, and that's ultimately been the downfall of them, especially with the goalkeepers in recent tournaments. But you'd imagine, I don't think there's been as much hype about them this time around.
No.
But as we get closer and closer to kickoff, and England start gathering up a couple of decent results in the group stages, they get into the pot, potentially the quarterfinals. You know, it's going to start building again.
As someone who
you know, has to deal with the lack of access we get now at international level over here, it was a masterstroke by Southgate and his PR people to throw them all out there during the week, all the players, the whole squad.
Yeah, very good point.
And you can see the pieces that have come out of that. First of all, the positivity from all their journalists on Twitter, but you're certain to see the pieces emerge now. Danny Rose today, Sterling, you know, so they're all getting their stories out there in print, and you know, that actually kind of just takes over the whole news cycle,
and it controls the narrative and shows these are humans and they're going to give a positive story rather than like people writing negative think pieces about
I was down in Carlow last week and they threw out 3 players, Turlough O'Brien and Stephen Poacher.
This is ahead of Leinster semi-final for anyone who's not sure.
And again, you know, all week the pieces have been coming out about Carlo and it's been so positive, you know. And now they have to back that up on Sunday.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But hopefully they will.
Oh, there you go. But
no media ban, no target.
But I really think that's helped drive a positive narrative this week for England, you know. And that's what they've been lacking
for
30 years.
Not sure about potential winners, but I'm just looking at the stage of elimination odds at the moment. Semi-final stage, 5-1. Could be a bit of value with that. I think they'll get to the semis. I think they'll have a good tournament. I really do.
You'd imagine the confidence. Like, then again, the whole Iceland thing. You know, from the Euros, they always flop.
But many of those players that played in that game aren't in the squad. this time around.
So
as
is that a good thing, or do they lack experience?
I don't think the baggage thing is there, which is very, very positive for this group of players. They're a young team. There isn't an awful lot of pressure on them for success in this particular tournament. And I just think, you know, as well, if the fans, the off-field antics, you know, keep to their own as well, that'll hopefully, for an England perspective, keep them in a good light.
Do you want them to win? Do you want them to win it?
I don't want them to win it, but I just think
it's that conflict that we always want them to go far, and we always want them to get beaten eventually.
Shane was just talking to the Queen off air beforehand. He really wants to.
She passed me by last weekend at the Derby.
I took the day off to watch the Royal Wedding, didn't you?
Huh?
You took the day off to watch the Royal Wedding.
Who didn't watch the Royal Wedding now? Come on.
Please.
It was great stuff. Bernard, we're finished up on the football here, but tell us, you had a rough old day, didn't you?
Oh, don't worry, teeth, Emma. Don't come and do a podcast when you get somebody messing with your teeth. So, dropped the young lad to the airport 3 or 4 o'clock this morning, and then went to a dentist for a couple of hours, and good few stitches and bits and pieces. So, great to be here and speaking about the Queen and England winning the World Cup. That's really, really.
It's like getting your teeth pulled, isn't it?
What's more painful?
Made put a smile on my face, not.
Mick, do you want them to win the World Cup? The English, that is.
No.
No? Why?
Nobody
bitterness?
Wants them to win it, but
800 years of oppression? Which is it? Just
it's
listen
more,
to
it's
it.
More pages for us to change in the Irish edition of the paper, I'd say.
Oh, I see.
To be honest.
Shane, can I say, does anyone...
Hope that doesn't get me to sack.
You soccer guys, I'd love to run this one quickly by you. At the time when Southgate got the English job, I actually thought the way he manipulated and manufactured the situation and the wages and all that, I think he pulled one of the greatest strokes. At the time, he was in the right place at the right time, and he wouldn't budge till he got the deal and the right deal. It was something that's for a manager that had no experience.
Wasn't
what a deal!
So Sam Allardyce obviously had an old jug of wine, and things went wrong there. But then Southgate had decent friendly results, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden,
he's in paradise. He can't lose.
Yeah,
I think the whole media in England thought, you know what, this guy might be just about boring enough to succeed here.
That's what they want. They want success. So
he's like, I mean, is he? Could him and Jim Gavin look in the mirror? Are they the same?
You tell us.
I think they're very similar. It's just push the button, the same thing comes out.
So he reckons they will be successful then?
We're going to get
they
on
could
to
be. They could be.
We are getting on to GAA. And actually, seeing as you bring up Dublin and Jim Gavin, we'll start with Dublin Longford. But tell us, you must have played against Jim Gavin back in the day. Did you ever have any comings together?
Not really, no. He was at the other end of the field. We were probably two of the smaller guys. Keeping away from each other.
This is when people we were running in the right positions.
I was running as fast as I could away from those Dublin dirty whores backs, and he was doing the same with the mid fellas. So,
did you hate Dublin back in the day?
Oh, I hated them so bad.
Give us an example of the worst day you came up against them dirty dubs.
I'll tell you a quick story, which is an amazing little story in itself. I worked with Davy Sinnott in Tenants at the time. Became very close friends, same sales team, great mates off the field, believe it or not. Playing the Leinster final. Two Leinster finals. He was switched on to me after 20 minutes in one of them. But he was the following year, we became really tight mates. And the two women, Maria and Madeline, were up in the stands together. And we were going to go out that evening together. We shook hands with our sales manager, winners a draw. And we had a promotion in Mars a Ballybock there after the game, no matter what happened, with all the publicans. This is then, we were great mates. True story. And Davy started to shove his fist into me. It wasn't really like him, but it was obviously set up
into
team
back.
Tactics. Oh, into the gut. Yeah. Into the gut. So as he third or fourth
allegedly.
One, no, truthfully. So as he hit me, one of them, the referee was just turning, but I turned around and I smacked and put my elbow into his nose and his mouth and I busted him. At the right time, it was the hardest. It felt so good. It really felt so good.
You're a disgrace.
No. And with that, he turned and he punched it as hard as he could, right in the nose, right round from behind. And the referee just caught him at that minute. 60,000, the two women above in the stand, our managers above in the stand together, meant to have an action promotion with the whole lot of the publicans afterwards. He was sent off. Sent off. You should actually look it up. It's a great little moment. Well, it's not a great little moment. But so I didn't go with the Mead team afterwards. And I spent, the first one I met was Marie Dave's missus. And she absolutely feckin' ate me.
Did she?
Oh, she devoured me. She was crying. She was inconsolable that we'd beaten him. So I spent till 12 o'clock looking for him. And I found him and I got him.
Where was he?
He was in a pub. And those days, no mobiles. No, he wasn't. And he wasn't in great form at all. So we made up about 2 o'clock in the morning. And you know what he'd done?
Well,
it was one of the great stories. I don't mind saying it. I crashed my car that night. Late. I was only in the job.
Right.
No car. It was written off. And who helped me in my promotion in Gibney's and Malahide on the Monday, the bank holiday Monday? Dave Sinnott drove me and he helped me do the work.
Well, fair play.
And that is some story, and that's a true story.
Jeez, and did you win that match?
We won that match.
Yeah. So what happened to the promotion in Mars?
I went to my own, honestly. Oh. And the managers and the whole lot went, and I understood it was the other way around. I wouldn't have went either.
Jeez.
End of story. But anyway, it's a great story.
Take back that dirty Dubs.
Yeah.
Not a bit. Are you joking me? Eamon Heery, Keith Barr, oh my God.
But like, if you're honest, you think he hit great me players. A dig into the guts. He deserved it.
He did deserve it, absolutely. And we had it out. I keep in touch with him. He's one of the great guys, I can tell you. And that's the one thing about the Jay. And we were friends after it again. Great
I love
guy.
A good story, great don't guy. We? That's great stuff. So, far more
we
depressing.
We don't condone any of that, by the way.
No. Far more depressing.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, you did. But far more depressing then is talking about Mead football at the moment, which we'll get to. And Dublin against Longford. Let's just go straight to the handicap bet here. It's 17 points, Shane. 5-6.
5-6, Dublin minus 17. The Longford plus 17 at evens. And if you're feeling adventurous, 14-1 if you think Dublin will win by 17 exactly. Just on the match betting, if you're interested as well, 250-1 on about Dublin. The draw 66-1, 25-1 about Longford. Just to mention as well, it is one of our several double odds matches over the weekend, and there's a serious chance we could see a first goal inside the first 20 minutes here.
Here's an interesting one for you. There's one of the guys that started for Longford in 2015 when they were beaten by Dublin by
27
points. Mm-hmm. And that was a beat down. And my current housemate,
did he start?
He played that day as well. Right, no, he came on as sub. Okay. And the interesting part was actually an incident that he was involved in, Pádraig Gill. So he came on, he was going for a ball, but so was Darren Daly and Ross McNerney. So they ended up with a three-way collision. And the game had to be stopped for 9 or 10 minutes.
That's right.
Mm. Ross McNerney had to go off with concussion, and his mother watching on TV as the game is stopped for 9 or 10 minutes. Pádraig Gill got it in the pills and had to ice his beauties for about 8 or 9 minutes, and before he was able to continue on. So I'm not sure if he's ever been the same. But Ross McNerney, he's no longer playing Gaelic football because he's in the band Brave Giants. And he plays as the banjo player as well.
Right.
So he'll be watching from afar this weekend.
And so, well, there's four Dubs had gone to America. It's amazing, interesting one.
Yeah, I mean,
Connolly going to Boston, big one.
But most of those guys probably wouldn't have been in contention to play. But I do know what you're saying in terms of, like, you reach a critical mass with the panel. Eventually guys will walk
away.
That's
the point of coming to Shane. I actually believe, and we spoke about there a few minutes ago, something different has happened with Dublin. I've never seen so many Dublin players out in the media and allowed. There's a mindset change from Gavin. I think he might try to become unboring, or he's trying to allow them a little bit more freedom. They're doing.
Which Dublin players?
No, they're doing a little bit more.
The guys are injured.
No. Philly's out there doing a good little bit of stuff. Bernard Brogan's out there. Yeah. Conor Callan's out there. They've all been. You'd not seen that 3 and 4 and 5 years ago. Absolutely not.
That'll stop after Leinster, by the way, I predict.
You could be right there, but I would say four Dubs to go into Boston that played in the squad in the last 6 months or so, you wouldn't normally see that.
Mm. Sure. So, do you, like, the last time I was...
Did Chief, the handicap, 22 points, we were talking about Shane the last time.
It was 23. Jesus, you're so on the money.
I think we were one or two short, that's but, right. I mean, we weren't... The lads in the trading room were fantastic.
The big decision
at
he has to make is that...
Handicap.
Jack Sheedy had to make a decision the last day to park the bus. He said, no, I'm going man and man.
Crazy.
I'm not going to do it. They got slaughtered. It could have been more. Connerton can't afford it. He just can't do that.
He won't do it. And they have a couple of classy forwards. And I feel sometimes you're kind of patting teams on the head by saying, you know, Robbie Smith's a really good footballer. Sean McCormack might start.
Givney was outstanding, a full forward.
Beautiful footballer. Oh. Probably doesn't actually move around all that much, but put it into his hand and he'll put it into your mouth if you want it. So he's a brilliant player. But I think it's handicap stuff here.
Well,
and
I was at the Wicklow game and they looked really good first half. Now, again, Wicklow went man for man and... You know,
I believe they were awesome in the first half.
They were really, really, really Fenton and Kilkenny, especially. You know, but it was 12-7 in the second half, and I think you know Gavin will pick up on that. That Dublin a couple of years ago, they were finishing games really strongly. The bench didn't finish the game strongly last day. He's going to hammer that point home, and that's why I think they'll beat the handicap.
Mm. And unless I'm mistaken, and this would be a big misstep if I am, so Mark Shute was on the panel the last day for Dublin against Wicklow. If he's on the panel again this day, his girlfriend will actually be in the Longford camp as their nutritionist. Look up at Nutricate on Instagram.
Now you mean to tell me when they're lying in bed together that they don't speak about ins and outs of different camps allegedly?
They don't sleep in the same house ever. Don't be going there.
There's a bet here.
Anyway, before I end up in trouble here.
My God.
I was joking.
I was trying to make it more innocent. Look, oh no, I can't believe it.
You did. I'll get you out of a hole here. I'm looking at a bet. in terms of value in this match, the match result of both teams to score, Dublin at evens. So for Dublin to win the match, both teams to score at least one goal each. Even money, you're turning a 250-1 on chance into an even money shot if Longford score a goal, and assuming that Dublin do again as well. So even money about that.
Mark, don't kill me. I was only joking there, and I've no idea what goes on. Anyway, the other semi-final in the Leinster Championship,
more important
Laois
semi-final.
Against Carlow. Yes, yeah. Shane, you know what? Take it away as a Carlow man.
Where do we start? So looking forward to this at the weekend. I think the betting is just about right. Now, first of all, I'm going to speak from the head and we'll move on to the heart then. But speaking from the head, I think they'll find it tough solely because it's back in Croke Park. I was at the league final when they were beaten by Laois a couple of months back, and just a lot of players didn't perform. They won't mind me saying this. I mean, so many players just didn't turn up. 7-4 is about right. The handicap is at 1. I was looking at a bet, however, Carlow to win by 1-3 is 100-30. Now, if they're going to win, I don't think they're going to blow them away. And I think it will be another very, very tight match. But if they perform, they did not perform in the league final. They kicked so many wides that day. We mentioned the fact they didn't kick a wide the last day against Kildare. I mean, if they repeat that performance against Kildare...
That's a freak. A complete freak.
Well, I thought it was really interesting during the week. Turlough O'Brien said that, you know, this is the first time they were in Croker. They weren't used to the dimensions of the pitch.
Yeah.
10 balls were kicked into the Laois keeper's hands.
Exactly.
So
it's the wide open spaces.
You expect them to be more in tune to that this time.
Mm. The one thing, and this is no disrespect, or I'm being genuine here when I say Laois players over the years nearly look down their nose at Carlow. Can always beat Carlow. Carlow get very, very hard
disrespect
to beat Laois. They really do.
Yeah. And they haven't beaten Laois since 1988.
Croke Park is one thing, Mick, but they were equally as poor in the league match a few weeks previous to that.
Yeah.
In the league format in Division 4.
Yeah.
They were very poor against Laois also again. So a little monkey to get off their back there as regards Laois. I think Laois up front are going to have a little bit too much of the Kingston's and co.
Who would you prefer to have in your team? Donny Kingston, who's possibly a Carlow man, or Paul Broderick?
Broderick was immense the last day, as were... Even the defence scored 2-1, as we were saying about Kildare.
That's the thing about Broderick. He just completely didn't turn up in the league final. He was missing 14-yard frees.
He was
so
horrendous.
Wives. But then the last day against Kildare, he couldn't do anything. Right. He was walking on water. So
to answer Shane's question, they're two different players, but all round, Donny Kingston caused havoc against Westmeath the last day, but he left the gaps and he took 2 and 3 with him for Paul to score the 3-2.
Yeah.
So Laois, to me, will win by 3 or 4 points, I think. Mm. But Turlough is looking for Carlow to perform when they need it most, and to prove that Kildare wasn't a fluke.
And I'm hoping they really do this weekend. And if we do get a performance, I think we'll win. And I think 7-4 could be potential value come 3:30 on Sunday.
Isn't it amazing? They haven't been in the Leinster final since 1944.
This is their chance. Hitler was still going strong at the time.
Was he going strong? Yeah.
I think they were kind of falling apart. That's
on the wane.
The Russians had obviously lured them into. Yeah. Into the cold weather, which was, and the scorched earth policy, of course.
I'd say Leinster Council and the Leinster Council are cracking up with the actual 3 of the 4, or you know, some of the teams are left in the semi-finals. I'd say
it's great though.
The crowd, it'd be interesting to see the crowd that goes. I think.
Well,
I hope the Carlow people,
You
know, people come out.
Just speaking to a few lads back home, I haven't been back in Carlow now in a couple of weeks, but speaking to a few of the lads,
Why would you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Back in Carlow.
The crack is up here, but it's also down there now and again. Now, come on, we've more than football down in Carlow. Come on.
Good hurlers.
Good hurlers too, But just from the lads' point of view back in Carlow, just about tickets and stuff and everything else, there's a great buzz around the town and, you know, they feel confident down there. So I'm just hoping for a good performance.
And the complete opposite then, Meath against Tyrone this weekend in the qualifiers, 5 p.m. Saturday. Bernard.
I was over there on Monday at an under-20 match against Kildare. Great game. They won by a point. Won the two minor matches at the two of them as well. You know, for obvious reasons, and there's no point in anybody trying to dress it up, we are where we are. Longford probably should have went up to Division 2. We probably could have went down to Division 3. So there's very little between the two teams. Yeah. That's the facts. So it wasn't a total shock to a lot of the Meath public. Huge disappointment. The management hurting badly in the players. I expect a big reaction. The best game they played in the last 2 years was against Donegal in the qualifiers, lost by a point last year in Navan. They played really, really well. Tyrone are missing. I think Meath have a chance.
Really?
I do think they have a chance.
They lost to Carlow.
Well, look at the forwards that they're missing four. I mean, Noah McCurry, Bradley, Lee Brennan, Peter Hart, all missing. And Colm Kavanagh is touch and go. Tiernan McCann not fully fit at all yet. And they're actually low in confidence. Meath have always played really, really well against Tyrone over the years. In 2015, they lost by 2 points, a dubious penalty. And I was up at the match. We should have beaten them. So Meath have a chance. I think the betting is a bit too generous to Tyrone.
Yeah, 100
but just it's a
bit
performance. Meath. The Meath public are looking for a performance, like a bit of pride. We stood off Longford. We were dreadful. We never laid a hand in them. No aggression. No real pride.
Sorry, Longford. Yeah, not
you know against Longford.
Yeah.
You know there was no. There wasn't what you'd expect in a Meath jersey.
Yeah.
We're looking for some of that. Tyrone probably to me will shade it, but I think we've a chance.
What does Andy McEntee need from this game and this season to save his job?
Well,
is it save his job? Is he not like ready to walk away?
No, he's another year, lads.
And I know.
I'm going to be honest, and I've been hard at times, and I've tried to be fair with your own county, but I've been extremely honest about the situation. I actually think he's going to do the third year, irrespective.
Yeah.
Who's going to come in?
That's what I was going to say. Who else is there?
They won't. You see what happened with Banty? Nobody wants an outside manager. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm still not so sure. But that put that one to bed, the way that whole saga finished and was started.
So
I think he might stay on for the third year.
Okay.
His management team, I think you could see, I think he will make changes there if he stays on. But I'll tell you what, if they could win this one, it might ignite some. There's no hiding from the fact of 13 guys have walked away since January, and I think 20 in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I'd often wonder where that stems from, but you know we're not going to figure that one out today. But Tyrone half-time, full-time at 2-3. As much and all as you're saying that Tyrone might be weakened, I just don't see the Meath winning this game. I'd say confidence is in their boots altogether. Mick, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Tyrone will win, but I do think the field is levelled, as Bernard said, by those injuries.
Huge players they're missing.
Yeah,
huge.
Hart. That was a big blow to lose him.
Yeah,
he scored a penalty, didn't he?
See what he'd done near the end, though. Mm. I mean, you'd wonder with some guys.
Yeah.
Madness.
Now, there are a huge amount of qualifiers on this weekend, but we can't touch on them all. But just the reason I want to look at Derry Kildare is that, you know, both teams, former kind of greats or whatever. I think it's interesting that these teams are actually playing in hurling as well in the Christy Ring semi-final on Sunday. Chrissy McCaig and Brendan Rogers are involved in both. So they'll obviously play the football first, then what's left of them will line out for the hurlers as well. Who's the best dual player in Ireland at intercounty level? So you probably have them and maybe Keith Higgins, who played for Mayo.
Conor Callan.
Yeah, but he's not playing.
I know, but he's the best dual player in Ireland by a mile.
What about Dahi Burke?
Good one. I like Dahi Burke.
Yeah.
I like Dahi Burke. Yeah. I wish we had a few Dahi Burks in Meath at the moment.
He's
made of steel.
The day of the dual players is long gone though now, isn't it?
Even at club level, it's so hard to do it now.
Yeah.
So
possible. Yeah.
I was at the Westmead Antrim Hurler match, just to tell you quickly, and some of the Westmead hurlers are probably even better footballers, and that kills a county like them.
Mm. What impressed you about that game?
I thought it was brilliant. I really enjoyed every bit. Watching Liam Sheedy going bananas on the line for Antrim, and then Michael Walsh and Michael Ryan the other side going absolutely crazy. The skill level and the fitness levels, it really was a magic game. My first one of those matches, if
Joe
you like,
McDonough
being a
Joe
McDonough game. And it was sort of when it was a big game for them all, the Antrim crowd that came, but the skill levels and the scores, it was worth anything to be at. It was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
I had a bit of a debate with Liam Sheedy on Twitter. At Shane Saint is my Twitter if you want to check it out. And I was saying that it's probably best to keep it at five teams in Leinster and five teams in Munster. And the reason that I would say that is because if you bring up a sixth team to Leinster, then you're going to dilute the quality of the Joe McDonough. So rather than me saying taken away from the lower ranked teams, and I did refer to them as lower ranked teams, weaker teams, which they are, if you weaken that competition, I mean, it does affect it. It makes the Joe McDonagh worse. So at the moment, because the top 10 teams are in the Munster and Leinster, that means the two teams to get through to the preliminary quarterfinals are ranked 11th and 12th in Ireland. If you bring six teams up to Leinster, that means the 12th and 13th ranked teams get to the preliminary quarterfinals. So I don't think it helps Joe McDonagh, and I don't think it helps the All-Ireland series either.
To be honest, I've changed my mind on this. I all last week with the whole sentiment towards, we don't lose Offaly here, or we don't lose Dublin. But I thought your tweet was very good, and there was a tweet this morning as well that broke down all of Offaly's results over the past 5 years. And basically, you know, they've been beaten by on average 13 point differential by all the top six. They haven't won, I think, in 10 years against those teams at senior, minor and under 21. So, that is their level now. They might have won an All-Ireland 20 years ago, senior level, but that is their level now. And it's up to them. It's going to take a few years, obviously. Obviously, they've had a little bit of a resurgence this year, and that's why sentiment is going with them. But I think they're going to have to earn it, baby.
I actually would. After watching it firsthand, I would agree with you. I would. And I know the point Liam was making, but I think you're completely correct. And after witnessing it firsthand last Saturday evening, why have Offaly a God-given right to stay there?
Yeah,
they don't. When you see the F, they actually don't. Dahi Regan was extremely hard this week and honest and saying that's where they are and that's the level they are at. To see the effort, and I know the resources, Colly Donnelly, the chairman of Antrim, I spoke to him on Tuesday, and he's just telling me the effort that's been put in, the work. And see Westmead, I know Tommy Carr is a strength and conditioning coach there with Westmead hurlers for the last few years. The work he's done, I know firsthand, has been extraordinary. Michael Walsh, Michael Ryan. They are putting in serious work. Right now, if you look at it, they're roughly on a level with Offaly, in or around. There's very little difference. So when you know when you go in, if Offaly at the moment can't be in the top five in Leinster, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
End of story.
And so, and why would you weaken the Joe McDonagh? Like, there's great games going on there. Let's not dilute it. So anyway.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. So just moving on to the final round of...
Sorry, can we just say, that Kerry... Sorry, Derry Kildare game. I mean, this is huge.
Oh, it
for
is,
Kildare, yeah. You know.
Yeah, Keane O'Neill. Yeah,
I think for his going to win it. I think
for the sake of his.
What's the odds, Shane?
For the sake of himself.
Look, Kieran, just bear with me.
Well, I'll tell you, Kildare are 4-5 anyway, so they are slight favourites here.
Derry played much better than the scoreline 216-16.
They're heading for Division 4.
4-5 about Kildare. Derry 11 away at the draw 15-2. Just 1 point in the handicap.
Just remember Derry last year against Mayo too.
Yeah, that's true.
I was doing the game. They should have. They absolutely. Chrissy McCabe, what he done? And 4 points up. He had the win in the game, missed a sitter, and they should have put them to bed.
And it's in Derry, isn't it?
It's in Derry, second, yeah.
They've moved it as well.
Kildare are in major trouble here, aren't they? Surely.
Yeah, and like they look like they were going well last year, but it's just
this
been free falls.
If they lose, this is 13 competitive games in a row. Yeah. I think Derry 11-8. That is one of my bets for the weekend.
We'll have to move on to the hurling, lads. So Galway against Dublin, there's nothing on the line there, so I think we'll just flat out skip that game because God knows what sort of teams and attitudes there'll be on the day. Kilkenny against Wexford, this is the big one. This is genuinely the big one. Both teams have beaten Dublin and Offaly. They've both lost to Galway. Huge prize of a Leinster final here. A draw would actually send Wexford into the Leinster final because they have a scoring difference of plus 17. Kilkenny are on plus 3. I think it's interesting that Davy Fitz's championship record as a manager over Waterford, Clare and Wexford combined is played 26, won 12, drew 2, but lost 12. He's nearly lost half of his games, Mick.
Saw that stat today. I was going to bring it up, actually. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And
also, he's been banging on about their schedule, hasn't he, for weeks now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they turn up.
Yep. Isn't he banging on since last weekend?
He's been banging on for a few weeks. And like, I can't see them doing it. I think Kilkenny are going to take them.
Yeah, and he says playing 4 weeks in a row, that put your money on Kilkenny. I don't like that defeatist talk. Like, he knows that they've got a third place and they'll go in the back door against the Joe McDonagh side. I don't like the talk. I think build up your team. Dennis Connerton did this with Longford a couple of years ago as well, where he more or less said, we have to play some club fixtures there. We're not going to get through Leinster. And I don't like that talk at all. Back yourself. I don't see any reason why Wexford can't go and get a result here.
I'm looking at the handicap, Kilkenny minus 4 at 11 to 10. That looks very, very tempting to me.
No, Wexford plus 5 at 5 to plus 4 at 5 to 6 for May, I think, is a pretty good price here as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is that whole tiredness factor, but do you buy into that tiredness factor of playing 4 weeks in a row?
No, I said in the show here, I stopped off and awfully after the Tip Cork game coming back from it, and I'm impressed to wear Wexford. I think, 5:27 or something like that to score, whatever.
Yeah.
to be so bad and flat. I watched every bit of that game last weekend.
Against Galway?
Against Galway. They were shocking. They were really shocking for long periods. And Davey didn't mince his words. He was very, very honest afterwards. Galway won pulling up, and it was like men against boys. That's the worrying thing for me at Wexford. How can you be so poor in a game you really want to test yourself against the All-Ireland champions? Mm. And they really gave nothing for the whole match.
I'd have to say about Wexford, so they played Dublin, then they played Offaly, which was as good as a challenge match. Well, so you're not going to be pushed to the pin
and
of your collar.
They weren't convincing in the Dublin game at all.
Yeah, the thing with losing to Galway, that's because you're nowhere near as good as Galway. I wouldn't say there's any tiredness factor here.
Yeah.
They won that game pulling up to Galway.
Did it.
And I think Wexford don't have an excuse here. Go out and get stuck in.
Talking to a tip hurler today who's in a similar situation, he said they're reveling in playing week on week.
Yeah.
Less training and they're just going out. Yeah. And
well,
playing.
I don't buy it anyway. There's a couple of massive games in Munster. Like, Munster has been absolutely crazy. I've been down at the games every week and I've been going nuts. Like, I was up in the press box the last day. I didn't go to where the written press were because I don't like the vantage point there. So I went up to where the radio are. I had Tip FM on one side of me, WLRFM.
I thought you were
going to
say the superior attitudes.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were going nuts and I was going nuts. And it was great. Like, and Waterford obviously were completely done against Tipperary with that umpire decision. Bernard.
Yeah, I'm doing actually a column on it. A full piece
for the Mirror.
Tell them nothing though.
No, I'm not. But what I will say is, Derek McGrath's, words can't describe. It was pure class afterwards. Probably a bit of madness, because how can you be so gracious? And I thought it was just magical. I think he stopped maybe a rebellion. But Waterford, it looks like now, definitely Waterford's championship season is gone on that decision.
Well, they've Limerick this weekend.
Yeah. I can't see it. Limerick look hungry. I'm so impressed with them. But even so, if they win the last two games, Shay, big ask.
Yeah.
But go back to just the decision, not going to dwell on it, but it is that important. That along with the biggest travesty and miscarriage of justice ever was Louth against Meath.
Yeah.
In 2010. 8 years later, you had a guy. I think people are missing the whole point here, the real point of what's wrong. The far umpire that jumped in when he should have had no business making a call on that decision. The near umpire was shaking his head that it wasn't a goal. The problem is those five guys, the referee and the umpires, travel together for years and are best buddies and friends in the one car, in the referee's car. The umpires don't even get mileage allowance. They get a meal. They get nothing. The referees are appointed sentry, as are the linesmen. And they get the same expenses as the referees. But the umpire, who now today has a harder and more important job than the linesman, you couldn't make it up. Mm. And one renowned, well-known hurling referee just retired last year. I think his dad was umpiring with him when he was doing refereeing till he was mid-70s. Mm. Referees have to give up at 50. Umpires can be 78 years of age and he can hardly see some of them. You know, genuinely, they pass. There's no criteria. They tick no box. Shane, last year they were brought in once for a bit of training. Nothing this year. I spoke to two referees this week. I mean, it's not acceptable. It's not good enough. What happened Louth when they lost a Leinster title? I know Louth people. Mm. It breaks their heart and they still can't speak about it. And Waterford last weekend, when speed, Eddie Brennan was talking during the week, when the speed of the slitter, nothing to do with it. It's a high lobbing ball, not near the goal line. And to have a decision made by a fella that had no business and another umpire who's too weak to undermine his mate in the car. That's the problem.
I'm not being glib at all. I promise I'm not. But you're dependent on human beings to make decisions like that all the time. And now, it was clear to everybody, right? But when you leave human beings in a position to make a decision, once in a while they're going to get it wrong.
No, that's not. No, that's just the point you're missing as well.
No,
I it is.
You know, for years it all goes fine. Yeah, and you got Louth, and every year there's maybe one or two controversies. I'm not being glib about it. If it's not,
no, it's
put
not
down to technology or to a video referee or whatever, then mistakes.
That nothing
happen.
To do with it, Mick. I'll tell you. This is the point that people are missing. That has nothing to do with it. He made a mistake by jumping in.
Yeah,
and making.
But
mistake.
That's a mistake.
But that wasn't. No,
it's
that
human
was,
nature.
That wasn't the mistake I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about
okay,
the guy.
Say what you're
no, the guy next okay. to the next to the post. Yeah. He knew it was no goal. He was shaking his head. But my issue is he hadn't the balls to take on his mate.
Sure.
In that drives in the car with him, and that is the real issue. Well, that is the real issue.
Yeah, well, look, I take your point.
He was compromised. He was compromised. And if that was two independent referees there, up-and-coming referees that had no agendas, that decision would have been done and dusted.
Now, I'm sure that the boys, the umpires, were doing their best, and it was human error.
I know
what you're saying, Bernard, but we have to be fair to them as well, and I'm sure the lads were doing their best on it. And there was a mistake, and I think the GA needs to review. I think they need to review what's going to happen in the future with these. But I'm sure the lads did have the best intentions on the day, and I'd say there's no one more disappointed than them. But just with this game at the weekend,
I wonder how that meal tasted after.
Do you know what? I'd say they went for a few pints, but they didn't sleep that night.
Jesus, yeah.
Lads, let's get back to the game. 14-man Limerick drew with Cork and probably should have won the game. Like, that goal probably stemmed the flow from Patrick Corgan, stemmed the flow for Cork as well. Yeah, it's hard to see how Waterford can come up second week in a row.
Still very much depleted team as well.
But the thing I'll say is, Dan Shanahan has done some savage poor mouthing here, because he made you think that they were going to have to throw 2 70-year-old ladies in Waterford jerseys and throw them out in the field. They had Austin Gleeson fit. They had Pádraig Mahony fit. They're going to have Kevin Moore back.
Great company with the umpires.
Will you leave the umpires alone at this stage? You have your pound of flesh.
Poor old devils.
Okay, can I just
no. There's no
where
more
in
talk.
The world we're in a sporting organisation.
Turn his microphone off.
In a world sport, would you? In a world sport with 50, 60, 30, 40,000 people, would you bring your buddies along to the match and they officiate? Where in the world would you see it? It is madness.
Well, you see it in junior hurling. Okay.
My
anyway, who's going to win the game?
Well, I forgot about your question.
Limerick and Waterford. Limerick -2 is 10-11. There you go.
That's the bet.
And
done and dusted.
If you want,
I have huge admiration for what Waterford did last week.
So do I.
Everybody,
they deserve to be tipped. I still think they should have held out no matter what happened from 11 points.
But you see, that's the other thing. There were still, 4 points?
Well, no, that brought it down to about, I think that only brought it down to one at that stage, actually.
Yeah, they were 4 ahead. But what was it, 11-point lead?
It was 11 at one stage.
They did.
One other bet is Limerick to be the only team to score a goal and to win the game at 4-1. Now, Waterford might go 15-15 again. That remains to be seen. One final game Tipperary against Clare. Brendan Maher spoke after the game about the confidence of Tip being in their boots. Maybe they're trying too hard. Now, we all know how that sounds, but I think there's a point in there that they're a little bit kind of, I don't know, clammed up or something like that. They need to be almost staring over the abyss before they actually get going. But they've won their last 5 championship meetings with Clare, who haven't beaten them since 2003. So
Tip -2 at evens.
Do you know what? I think Clare +2 at 10-11
so
might be more.
Twice now you're after going against me in the handicap. Interesting.
I'm just so worried about Tipperary. I think Tipperary, set up correctly with the right tactics, could beat Clare by as many as they want. I genuinely do think they have far superior hurlers to Clare. Yeah. But I think tactically last year, Tip were struggling against Clare in the All-Ireland quarter-final because of how they were set up, because of how they allowed themselves to get exposed from the puck out by not protecting the half-back.
When have we ever seen John McGrath being taken off?
He was dropped last year against for the Westmeath game.
But like, I tell you, a few brave calls near the end of that game now.
I agreed with taking off Noel and John McGrath. I didn't agree with taking off Dan McCormack, and some people say that.
See the ball he caught just before he was taken off.
He was winning
incredible.
Freeze. He was winning ball.
Just before.
He was motoring well. But like Tony Kelly has to be kept down in this game. Shane O'Donnell has to be kept down. Conor McGrath as well. If Tip don't protect that back line, they're going to end up chasing uphill again.
Whatever about playing week on week, the effort that's gone into them having to come back for 2 weeks, what's that going to take out of them?
Or what's that going to do to their belief? I mean, this is the whole thing. Sure. Nobody can really predict what's going on here.
No. I just think the Munster Championship has what it's done for the GA as a whole this year and what it's going to do. They're never going to change this format.
No.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Is there anyone moaning there about one of the teams, let's say Waterford, it looks like at the moment, you know, and please God, they might have win the last two matches and get a bit of justice. But at the moment, are they moaning about being kicked out? Not a word.
Yeah, but they won't be kicked out.
Well, like they could end up being eliminated because of losing out on a point.
Yeah, I think they could. I think that's what's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'd love to see for next year that.
Sorry, like the top three, yes.
Leinster started a week early this year. So why after 2 weeks didn't that have a week break so that Munster would still be on? And then the following week, Leinster have a break and Munster be on. And then everyone would get a nice little break in the middle.
Anyway, because that would be logical.
Who's going to win this game, lads? I think if you fancy Clare and both teams to score a goal at 12-5 isn't bad.
I like
if
Clare.
You fancy Clare. Yeah. And the first score from play, I think Tip are half asleep every time they start a game. But a Clare point from a dead ball, because I think they'll run a Tipperary straight away, 4-1. I don't think that's the worst bet in the world. Lads, anyone got anything more to say about the old hurling there?
No. Derry 11-8, and one other bet I'll try and give
a
double.
I presume you mean the football, because they're meeting
absolutely
in the hurling.
Absolutely, no, the football. I think Armagh -2 against Westmead is a great bet. So Derry, do Ulster double, Armagh -2 and Derry 11-8, I think two great bets.
Okay, so that's the GAA, yep. And wow. Jeez, I can breathe again after that. Right, let's talk about the rugby, Mick. Ireland against Australia this Saturday, 10:30 a.m. The team has been named. Joey Carberry in at number 10 alongside Conor Murray. How do you feel about it?
Sorry. Someone speak about the rugby?
Sorry, do you have to go?
Is it okay if I go? Do you mind?
Go for it.
Do you mind?
Yeah.
Are you finishing up much near the end? Or
oh, yeah. So all we threw is the rugby.
Is it? No,
and
hang on. Sorry about that.
No, you can head off.
Are you sure now?
Yeah, I'm sure.
They don't. There's no much near the end to go.
Don't worry about
I just
it.
Have a serious meeting to go.
Yeah,
start, right?
There's no bother there at all.
It's in Croke Park. It's about umpires.
Oh, lovely.
Yep.
Great to see you, buddy. Disagree. I like you, see. I have to disagree with you. Now.
Right. Chat to you again.
Of course. Bernard, of course.
Oh, we won't get a knuckles wrap for balls, will we?
Never know.
See you, buddy.
Or sleeping with the enemy.
See you. No.
Sorry, I knew he was agitating to go there, yeah. So we just take it up from
Rachel,
there.
Rachel, I'll just take it from the top on the rugby.
On the rugby, yeah.
Right, Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, Ireland against Australia. Haven't won there since 1979, Mick. Joey Carberry starting at number 10, the new Munster man alongside Conor Murray. Are you excited about this game?
Yeah, big time. I was excited before I even saw the team. And now the fact that he's getting a first major run out in a big test, that's fantastic. And alongside his new Munster teammate as well. You know, like, I know there's been a lot of cribbing this morning about, oh, Johnny's not playing, we're going to lose our 12-game winning streak. And people wanted to go on and on and on, and they're thinking about the World Cup in, 15 months' time. But but it's precisely because of that, the World Cup, that Schmidt is taking this line of thinking. I mean, he keeps going back to what happened in Cardiff against France and Argentina at the last World Cup, and we lost half of our key men, and it killed us. So, you know, Joey Carberry's only played a couple of tests until now, and this is a great opportunity against a really strong Australia team.
Yeah, just on match betting, very, very tricky here, Shane. 5-6 about Australia, 25-1 the draw, even money about Ireland. Don't forget, one of several double odds matches throughout the international series. All Ireland matches will be going double odds on winning first try score bets if they grab a second one at any stage of the match as well. So do bear that in mind.
Okay. So that's that. If you can hear the sound of the door there, that's Bernard. He's heading out the road.
Forgot his shades.
Forgot the shades.
I'm running. I'm afraid he is, lads. That's it. Yeah. I'm gone.
Yeah, he's off to
enjoy your meeting.
He's off to mow down a few umpires. <aren't you>? Get out.
I'm going to find my teeth.
Right.
Don't bother.
I think there's a couple of interesting side issues in this game as well. And one of them is that you've got Pocock and Folau on the same team for Australia.
Yeah.
One of them who refused to get married until there was marriage equality in Australia. And the other one, Folau, who says that homosexuals will burn in hell. And I might be paraphrasing, but I think that's pretty much...
Yeah,
I think that's it's pretty much it, as well.
Yeah.
So, like, do you think that's going to distract Australia, or are they just mowing on regardless?
I don't think it will distract them. You presume, you know, Michael Cech is a pretty savvy guy. You presume he's kind of a forward-thinking guy, you know, that he would put them in a room and let's have a chat about it, lads. You presume that would have happened.
Oh, I'm sure it would have happened at this stage. But
interesting. So we won't know until we see it. You know, absolutely. But, you know, I think Australia's record in Brisbane is very good. I think, you know, I would have targeted this game as one we definitely would have won. Now you look at the team and you see a lot of the Leinster frontliners who won the double there in the last few weeks are on the bench. So that makes it just a bit more interesting, I think.
In terms of the match betting as well, I mentioned it was very, very tight between the two, 5-6 against Stevens. If you're looking for either team, you know, if you think Australia between 1-5, that's 4-1. Ireland to win between 1-5, that's 9-2. So if you think it's going to be a close game, you know, the winning margin might be the way to go there for either team, 1-5.
You look at one of the Leinster frontliners I've just been mentioning is playing James Ryan, who's obviously still on his winning streak.
He was under 8, I believe.
I think it was some BNI Cup game, God knows when, a year ago or something. And, you know, it's just sensational, and if he kept that going, it would just be Pretty amazing, mm. wouldn't it? Ireland 21 years of age.
Ireland plus 3 is 4-6 as well.
Yeah.
Nice little extra bit of room for manoeuvre.
Yeah, possibly one for your multiple over the weekend. I think yeah. it looks safe enough. I don't think there's going to be much between them.
Should be a cracking game. Mm. They're two really informed sides.
Can I ask you a question? Ireland turned down the chance for the women to have a double header with the men as well, and the Aussies were going to cover the accommodation. The IRFU just had to pay for the flights. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I just read the report on that this morning. They were saying that they were concentrating on the November series. It's baffling, isn't it? Ireland are.
Yeah. For the women.
Yeah. Yeah, for the women. I mean, it's baffling.
That tastes bad, doesn't it?
I can't understand it. Mm. You know, and especially because they've been getting a bit of a hammering over the women's game of late.
And I've seen an Irish women's player tweeting out about it, not happy at all. So I think it definitely deserves to be talked about a bit more. I know there was the situation with the previous coach as well, which you possibly know a bit more about that than I do.
No, just that I think the players weren't happy with the tactics and... they made an absolute mess of the World Cup, didn't they, on home ground? Where they, it got to a stage. It was really on the up, and now it's just in. It just seems to be going into decline. You know, it's sad, really.
So, just to come back to this game, then, are you gonna plumb for an Irish win?
I think it's tough. I mean, I think if you the head's real in the heart, I actually think Australia will win.
Right, okay, Shane.
In a close game.
Just two bets for me. Australia 1-5, Ireland between 1-5 as well. I don't think there's going to be much in it at all.
What odds are they?
So Australia 1-5 is 4-1. Ireland's win by 1-5 is 9-2.
Well, you could go for both of those.
Yeah, that's
there.
What. Yeah, I suggest going for both. I don't think there's going to be much in it at all.
I do think it is interesting, though. I think Schmidt is, you know, in his head going, I'm putting team selection here and the, thinking about the World Cup and next year ahead of a win.
Yeah.
Even though he's putting out his team thinking that they can win, but you know he's not putting his main man out there, and that's a very good call, I think.
Okay, so just moving on then to the racing as well, there's not a whole pile on this weekend, Shane, but
no, a complete opposite of last weekend, sadly not too much to speak about really. The car is on for a couple of days on the Friday and the Saturday, and Friday car the 7:45. I just had a quick look at the Ballyogan Stakes for the fillies and the mares. It looks very competitive. William Haggis, a British trainer, sends over one master who's rated a lofty 104, so that'll just show you the strength and depth in this race. But I'm going to go for Sorel Del Rose for Dermot Well. Dermot Well, of course, was under a bit of a cloud his yard last season. The horses just weren't firing at all. He struggled for winners for the complete season, but this time around they're in, you know, much better fettle as well, and this one will be around about 4-1. You know, an easy winner at Goran Park the last day down at the County Kilkenny venue. That was over 7 furlongs. Back down to 6, I think, shouldn't be an issue at all. Albeit it was a handicap that she won the last day, stepping up into group company. But as the saying goes, Shane, follow a filly in form, and she's definitely in form at the moment. And just very briefly as well, one other one to touch on at Haydock Park on Saturday, the 2:50, the Pinnacle Stakes. We're kind of talking a couple of days before the decks here, but one again for the fillies, T.T. Mafke for the Mark Johnston and Richard Kingscott combination. Will be around about 5 or 6-1 when the prices do come out. Was beaten just under 3 lengths the last day behind Your Nightmare, but has a £3 pull in the weights for that defeat the last day at Ayr up in Scotland. And the step up and trip should suit that one, and looks a solid enough each way bet for me. So yeah, those two for me for the racing. Don't forget to check out our various offers in shop, our money back offers and best odds guaranteed and multiple bets on the Irish and UK racing throughout the whole weekend.
And just one final event this weekend I want to take a quick look at is in the boxing at the Manchester Arena, 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night. Tyson Fury against Sefer Seferi. Now the reason it's interesting is because Fury, like, he's a bit of a loose cannon, yeah, shall we say. He's going to end a 924-day spell out of the ring since he fought Klitschko in November 2015. Mm. He put up 8 stone. He's lost it. Like, he actually weighed more than 27 stone last year. So
I see he's 5 stone heavier than his opponent this weekend as well. That should surely make him very hard to beat.
Like this, the Albanian, he's 39. He's almost a foot shorter and 5 stone lighter. Crazy, so crazy. What's the odds here?
250-1 on about a Fury win. Anything you like.
Which
about
is the same as Dublin against Longford.
Yeah, pretty much. You won't be paid much on the double if you take them, but they're pretty much certainties both to win. I mean, the round betting even is very short as well about a Fury win. You know, to win in round 2, 6-1, round 3, 6-1 as well. Very, very short. But you would imagine he'll get it done early enough, I would think.
So,
people really care?
Well, I kind of care. He's a colourful character. Yeah. Followed him on Instagram for a while. He actually started to sicken me after
I think
a while,
he's so more colourful outside of the ring than inside the ring, just due to the fact he's been out of the ring for so long.
He's a good fighter.
Yeah.
That's my attempt.
The Return of the Gypsy King, I believe, is what he's renowned.
He's 25 and 0.
Better than Weight Watchers, anyway.
Oi, oi.
The old boxing.
Right, lads. Any bets of the week?
For me, it's going to be all centered around Carlo and Leash this coming Sunday. I know, but you have a smile on your face. Carlo to win by between 1 and 3 points at 100 to 30. And I think that those two bets in the rugby, either team to win between 1 and 5 points, 4-1 and 9-2. I think you take a stab at the two of them. They could be good.
I like that shout you had on Limerick to win and not concede a goal.
4-1.
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, last week I said that Galway would easily beat the handicap against Wexford. That happened. I said Limerick, I think it was Limerick plus one against Cork last week. I said they'd beat that, and they did it with 14 men. So listen up now when I tell you.
Was that the sound of a trumpet being blown?
Yeah. Wexford plus 4, 5-6. I fancy it, and you've just stolen my thunder.
I'm congratulating on you.
Limerick minus 2, 10-11. Tipclare, God only knows. I mean, nobody can call it with any confidence.
Well, I also think to break the monotony, Dublin to beat the handicap.
Do you think so?
Minus 17. Yes. 5-6.
Right. So that's it, lads. We've it all said. My thanks to Bernard, who bolted off already. Mick Scully, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Shane, we'll get you again
next
week. Pleasure as always. Yeah, and the pleasure is always.
Carlo Rising.
Carlo Rising.
We'll get you again next week.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.